Okay, we are in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. We finished almost 14 verses, but last week I could not complete the 14th verse. So we will start with 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 14.
Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
Now he is saying that you should be teaching the word of God and telling these people about God. But he says, don't use the word doesn't have any meaning or no profit to people. And if you start using those kind of word, it is not going to increase their faith or bless them, but it will ruin their hearts. That means when you preach the word of God. Now, many places people preach the word of God, but just they say they are preaching the true word, but they just use the fables and some other things, and which doesn't make any sense or make any meaning. So the word of God says, if you use those words, there is no profit, there is no blessings to listening to those words. Those words will ruin their hearts and not give any encouragement. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, if you read, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
And so here the St. Paul is saying, when you teaching the word of God, that word of God will give growth to your spirit. And then he's saying, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And he said, when you're using the words of God, you use them in such a way that the listener will have some kind of grace and some kind of test for your word. Let's read the Colossians chapter 4, verse 6.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Now he says, when you're preaching, your preaching will be so tasty like seasoned with the salt. We can make so much food and put all kinds of spices, but if you don't put the salt, that food doesn't taste good. Nowadays people say don't eat salt, salt is not good for you. But the Bible doesn't say that. Salt is good for you in a limited way. If you don't use the salt, your food will not have any taste. And if you don't have a taste for your food, you will not digest your food. You remember, if you like certain food and somebody takes the name of that food or fruit, what happens? Some kind of secretion comes to your mouth. Even though you didn't eat that food, but your tongue and your senses says, I want to eat it. So he said, the same way when you're preparing the message, let it be seasoned with salt. That means use the word of God such a way that the people will like to hear the word of God. Sometimes when the person is preaching and they don't know what he's preaching and they fall asleep or they scratch their head, they go over their head and they don't understand anything. So he's saying when you're preaching, we are coming to the 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14, and he says preaching the word of God, that word should do some benefit to the listeners. If not, that same word will hurt their feelings, their heart, and ruin their heart. So the James chapter 3, you have to read the whole chapter, talks about your tongue. So the tongue is such an organ God has created in our body, doesn't have any bone, very flexible. You can twist it backward, inward, either way you want. But that same tongue you cannot control, you will be using that tongue to hurt somebody. And the same tongue you can use to somebody to bless somebody. The word of God says, this tongue like a fire. Just read chapter 3, verse 6. James 3, 6.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell.
Can you imagine? The tongue is a fire. Evil thing, tongue, can destroy your life. You can control the vicious animal. You can control everything in the world. But people are not able to control their tongue. Then somebody says, if this tongue takes me to hell, and if this tongue makes people to get hurt, how can I control this tongue? Only way, you remember, in the day of Pentecost, God gave the fiery tongues. That fiery tongue comes, and when you receive the unknown tongue, that tongue will control the fleshly tongue. The tongue is completely destroying you and destroying other people's life. Fill in the Holy Spirit. Start speaking in tongue. I guarantee you, your tongue will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So the word of God is saying, this we are reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, when you speak the word, that word should not destroy people, and that word should not ruin the hearts of the people. So the word of God says, when Jesus Christ used to speak, St. John chapter 6, verse 63. So the Jesus Christ, when he speaks, that word has what? Spirit and life. That means those words will give you the life eternal. So in short, when you start using the same words of God, those words will give life to mankind. Okay, now let's go to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
When he said, don't use the wrong words, don't use the words somebody can get hurt or their heart will be ruined. So somebody said, then what should I do? He says, study the word. When you start studying the word of God, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is the word of God. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. So each and every word is there to edify us, to teach us, to guide us, to keep us holy. So the word of God has power. We just read that the Jesus Christ speaks the word, that word has the Spirit and life. In the word of God, there is a life in the word of God. So what he's saying, study to show thyself approved unto God. God has to approve what you studied. Just like your teacher teaching you some subject. Now when the teacher teaching you subject, how can you know that teacher is going to approve what you learn? How does teacher know? There is an exam. When you take the exam, and the teacher sees according to what he taught to that student, and then he gives the 100 mark, 60, 70, 50, whatever. If you get 100 out of 100, that means you prove it to your teacher, I did it right. The same way he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That means if you are a servant of God or the child of God, what you're learning and teaching the word, God has to approve. You can say John 3:16. You can say the John 3:16, but when you start quoting the words, you should quote that verse what the Bible says. There is another person, other day I was talking to, and he started quoting the Bible scripture. And he was quoting the Bible scripture wrong. And he said, this is what the Bible says. And says, sir, what scripture is that? He says, I don't know the scripture. I say, you don't know the scripture and you're quoting it and it is not in the Bible. That's what the problem is. There are some people, hear some preacher saying something, some kind of statement or some kind of story, and somebody says, maybe it is in the Bible, and they think, and they tell somebody, this is in the Bible. The Word of God says, study to approve to God. God has to approve what you studied. God says, remind me with my words. If you praying for something and you want the answer, then you quote the words to God. And you praying and you say, Lord, it's your word says, if I have faith, I can move the mountains. That's what the Word of God is saying. You have to study the word to show thyself approved unto God. And then he said, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. When you use the word wrongly, then you feel embarrassed that you quoted the wrong word or you did not say it right. That should be embarrassment. But we should not be embarrassed. That means you should practice. You should study properly. So you will not be embarrassed what you say. And then he says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the word of God is just like sometimes it's like a hidden meaning in there. And if you don't know the word of God, then you would not know how to explain the word of God. So he said you should know how to put it right or divide it or dissect it and teach the people what the meaning is all about. But if I don't know the word, then I won't be able to teach you the word. So he says, you cannot use any language which you don't understand. So use the word which is written in the word of God, practice it and use it and give the right meaning for the word of God. There are so many people doing the wrong thing. Verse 16.
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus.
So that means, do not use the words which doesn't have meaning, or using some bad language or bad words which hurts, we just read a few minutes ago. So if you start using those kind of language, that will increase the ungodliness in the people's heart. Instead of bringing them to God, they are going to go away from God. And he says, that's why that word sometimes destroys you, your faith and everything. And he given the two people's name, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now those people were believers. But now what happened? They didn't know how to use the Bible. They didn't know how to study the Word of God. They didn't know how to explain the Word of God properly. And so they start interpreting Bible according to their desire or their ideas or whatever they believed in. They didn't preach the truth. They start preaching whatever they want to preach. So what happens? Let's read verse 18.
Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some.
Now he says these two people, and there are many, start reading the Bible and teaching the people, you know what? There is no resurrection now. Resurrection is over. Now how come they get that meaning, and where they found this scripture? There is no scripture in the Bible that says the resurrection is over. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the first fruit of resurrection. When you say first fruit, then it will be second and third and fourth. The Bible would have said Jesus Christ is risen and is the last fruit. That means this is the last resurrection. There is no more. But if the Jesus Christ is the first risen, and that means we have hope. Jesus Christ showed to us that he is alive and he has defeated the death. He conquered the death. Now we have victory over the death. Death is already gone. Jesus Christ has given us victory over the death. the death only hangs over the people who are committing sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin, what does it mean? Wages of sin. When you do something, you get wages. What is the wages? A salary, a payment. When you do sin, your payment is coming. What is your payment? What is your salary? Death. The wages of sin is death. Means you keep on committing sin. One day the payday is coming, and that payday is death. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he says, here is the wages of sin, and here is the gift of God. The gift of God is giving what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have choice. Are we going to live in death and die and go to hell? Or are you taking the gift of God which comes freely and receive the gift of God and have eternal life? The word of God is saying, these two people start preaching, there is no resurrection. The resurrection is past. So if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal life, then our life on this earth is miserable. Just like other religious people. Here he says, and if you go to the book of Romans, chapter 8:10.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
See, it's very simple. He says, God raised his Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, if you have the same Spirit of Christ, he will raise you the time of resurrection. Now, what spirit you need to be resurrected? Do you know? The Spirit of Christ. When the Spirit of Christ comes in this same chapter, it says in the 9th verse, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they are none of his. So, how the Spirit of Christ comes and when the Spirit of Christ comes, once you are born again, once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in you. And so if you have that Spirit, you will be resurrected when Jesus Christ comes. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please read verse 16 and 17.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Dead in Christ, rise first. What do you mean dead in Christ? When you receive Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. When you die, you are dying in Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes and he who are died in him, he resurrect them first. And the people who are alive in Christ, those people will be transformed. And then we go to meet the Lord. And how much time it takes? Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Once you are in Christ, and when Jesus Christ comes, he is going to change you with a twinkling of an eye. Please read.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Now this is the hope for the believers. This is only in Christianity. If we are believers of Christ, we are living in Jesus Christ, we are going to go to heaven because Jesus Christ defeated the Satan and sickness, disease and death on the cross. So we are free from all these bondages. When Jesus Christ comes, we are going to go within a twinkling of an eye. It's a very short period. And so the Word of God is saying, if you don't preach this truth, people will be confused. And many people do not know the truth. Even the some of the people in 21st century, some Christians are saying, there is no resurrection. We are not going to be resurrected. And they're thinking, we are going to stay here. And when Jesus Christ comes, we will have the millennium starting. And when the millennium starts, we will be here forever. That is not the Bible teaching. And that's why we have to know the truth. And the person who is teaching the Bible, he has to know the truth. Some people go to the Bible colleges. Now, there are different Bible colleges. And you say, I'm going to apply wherever I get the scholarship, I'll go to that college. Jehovah's Witnesses Bible College. You will ruin your life. Why I'm saying this? This is not like a general college. When your son or your daughter passes the high school, you're looking for the scholarship. Wherever the scholarship comes, you send your son or daughter there. I would not send my son or daughter or my grandchildren anywhere without knowing what they teach. You cannot go to any Bible college because there is a scholarship. I will always advise you, go to the Full Gospel Bible College. If you go and listen to my radio programs, they are going around the world. End of the program, when I'm telling people where to go, I said, go to church where the full gospel is preached, where the people are believing healings, miracles, signs and wonders, and where the sickness and disease are healed. Go to that church and grow there. Not because church is in walking distance, or church is close by my house, or because of my father used to go to that church, or my mother used to go to that church, that's why I'm going. This is not a tradition. We are going to church to learn the truth, so we can grow. That's what the Word of God is saying. Let's go to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Now the foundation of God is laid for the Christianity. The foundation of God is laid for the Word of God. Do you know what is our foundation? Our foundation is Christ. If some denomination is not teaching about Jesus Christ and his doctrine, that foundation is wrong. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and start reading from verse 10.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Now he says, I am a wise master builder. He's not an ordinary contractor. He's not an ordinary engineer. He says, I'm a wise master builder. Means he has gone to study and he studied how to lay the foundation. If somebody is an engineer and never went to the college, never went to university, and he said, I know how to build the houses, that house will collapse. You have to know to how to build the house. So St. Paul says, I have studied how to lay the foundation. And I found out the real foundation is Jesus Christ. So he's saying, if you really want to build the church, you have to build the church on the foundation, which is Christ. Okay, let's read further. Same chapter.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Now hear what the Word of God is saying. If you really laying the foundation, lay the foundation on Christ. And when you're building on that foundation, use the proper material. Now he goes almost six kind of material. He said there is a silver, gold, and precious stone, and there is a wood, hay, and stubble. Now just think, somebody makes the house with a wood, hay, and stubble. That house can be built faster and easier. But when you set the fire, that will burn easier also. But if you build the house with a precious stone, that house will not burn. And so the point I'm making here, if you really want to find out what church is good church and what church can stand fiery trial, that's the church's foundation laid on Christ and the Christ teaching. So I told you there are so many churches around the world, but you have to see, are they preaching the truth? Who can preach the truth? That Jesus Christ has given us some kind of people to edify the church. Without the Holy Spirit, not a single person will be able to edify the church. Now, the pastor is not filled with the Holy Spirit, if the teacher is not filled with the Holy Spirit, if the apostle is not filled with the Holy Spirit, if the evangelist is not filled with the Holy Spirit, they can mislead you. They will not teach you the right way, and the building or the church will not grow. Go to the Ephesians chapter 4 and start reading from verse 11.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
See, edifying the body of Christ, these fivefold ministries are given. Now, some churches, I don't have to give their name, some churches, they say, now the apostles are not here with us. The prophets are not with us. It's all finished. But in that same scripture, it says, when you say, some people say, apostles are finished because there are only 12 apostles. The 12 apostles were there. Out of 12, one died. So there were 11. Now out of 11, they took one more before the day of Pentecost and became 12. Now if somebody tells you there is no more apostles, only 12, ask them a question. What do you think about Paul? Is he apostle? How about Barnabas? Is he apostle? Yes. Then how can you say only 12 apostles? Why they say 12 apostles only? Because Jesus Christ says, you are 12 sitting on my throne. 12 apostles. So somebody says there will be only 12 people. Jesus Christ didn't say only 12 people have only 12 thrones. He says this can happen to many. And here he's saying, when you say some apostles, when you say some, how many? I'm going to say, I have some money in my pocket. Tell me how much money I have. Can you tell me? No. I didn't tell you the number. I said some money I have in my pocket. Some means what? It's not 12. It's not less. You understand? So the Word of God says God has given fivefold ministers, and the word used some. That means more than one, more than 12, more than 13. So God has given these apostles when? In the day of Pentecost. When they filled with the Holy Spirit, then they can teach the Word of God. I can give you so many examples. How the apostles start giving the mystery. St. Paul, he says, the mystery was hidden from ages, but is revealed by the Holy Spirit to us. St. Peter says, you know, all those Old Testament people, they had the Spirit of Christ. Moses didn't say, I have the Spirit of Christ. Elijah didn't say, I have the Spirit of Christ. How can Peter knew? The Word of God says, by the Holy Spirit, God revealed. So the point I'm making, you have to go to church where the people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they can explain the Word of God properly. So the Jesus Christ is the foundation. The same way Jesus Christ gave the apostles and gave them the foundational teaching. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2 and start reading from verse 20.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Now here he's saying, St. Paul says in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Christ is the foundation. Now here he's saying, apostles and prophets are the foundation. Now somebody say, really, who is the foundation? The foundation is Christ, and the second foundation is the apostles, and the cornerstone is Christ. If there is no cornerstone, the building cannot be built. Now just think, somebody start the building straight line, and it keep on going straight, straight, straight. It can go 200 feet long or 1,000 feet long. Is that a building? No. It's just a wall. To make a building, you need a cornerstone. So the cornerstone is Christ.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
So what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and you're building together with him as a living stone, and that becomes a one building, and then God lives in that building. And how you build? By the Spirit of God. The birth of the church came on the day of Pentecost. What does it mean? If the day of Pentecost the church established, and if you don't have the Pentecostals experience in your spirit, you cannot call yourself church. Let's go to the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20.
But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
You have to have Spirit of God, and that stone can be lively, fit together and build a church. Now he says, if you want to be part of that church, if you want to part of that stone, if you want to part of that God's building, then what you do? He says, but in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earthen vessels, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now some people say, you know what? In a God's house, there are so many people. Some are used for honor, some are used for dishonor. What kind of vessel you are to be? Do you want vessel created for dishonor? Or you want vessel to made for honor? I don't have time to go on this subject too long, but if you want to know about vessels, I already made the CD. What kind of vessel God wants to use for his glory? Let's read the verse 21.
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Now he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what these? Evil speaking, not dedicating his life. If you're living a miserable life, he says, you want to be a vessel of God, used for honor, then what you do? Purge yourself. How do I purge myself? There is the only thing there is to make you holy is the blood of Jesus Christ. Purge yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ and you will be completely righteous man of God. The person can be a murderer, killer, destroyer, or the lady can be prostitute or bad person. But when that person comes to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Something happens instantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, he says, if any man, if any person being in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. How it happened? Once you receive Jesus Christ, say yes to Jesus, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. There is no record of your sins. So he says, purge yourself. Didn't say how to purge, but as a Bible believer, we know where to go. To dip in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if somebody wants to know more about the purification and sanctification, I have made almost, 7 or 8 CDs on the sanctification and holiness and put so many points there, how you can be holy. I can give a little bit outline. You can be holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be sanctified by the Word of God. We can sanctify by the Holy Spirit. And this purification is continuously happen in our life. I'm not saying buy my CDs, but I'm just saying ask me. Pastor Peter, I want to know more about this subject. I can help you. So now here he's saying, purge yourself. But somebody said, I don't know how to purge myself. So I told you, you have to purge in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, in the Holy Spirit, to make yourself a vessel of God. And then he said, he shall be vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. So he said, if you want to be a good vessel, that vessel has to be clean. The Word of God says, your body is the vessel. But if you put drugs, alcohol, smoking, and using this body for the prostitute or doing something wrong, this body is defiled. God cannot use this body. Outwardly, you may have 3-piece suit and a Bible in your hand and a beautiful voice. Doesn't make you preacher. He says, if you want to be preacher, clean up. Whatever is not fit for the ministry, get rid of it. I told you one day I went to one church and then man says, can I smoke? And I said, no. And he still smoked and he said, without smoking, I cannot preach. And I stood there. I would have get out of that church as fast as I can. But I stayed there and he preached a sermon. What? There is nothing impossible with God. I said, very good sermon. Sir, why are you smoking? Is there is impossible with God that he cannot give you power to quit the cigarette? He said, I never thought of that. Then what? You are not reading the Bible. You are the temple of the living God. You have to clean up your vessel. You are using the dirty vessel. You cannot use. And he said, please pray for me. I prayed for him. Other day one lady told me, Pastor Peter, I was smoking. She came last Sunday. I was smoking. You prayed for me. And smoking was so addictive to her. She said, I tried and tried and tried. I could not give up. But I was craving, and I was smoking, and I was feeling good. But my heart was destroyed. My body was making me weak. And I said, Lord, how can I give up? She said, I was failing. But when you prayed for me, it's gone. Now I don't want a smell of that cigarette. I don't want to look at that cigarette, and I'm completely free. Yesterday, I went for shopping. And the shopping parking lot, there is one person comes. Oh, Pastor Peter, he came running. He said, Pastor Peter, let me tell you one thing. When I came to your church 25 years ago, you told me smoking is bad. I gave up that smoking and never took it back. The point I'm making, we are all the vessels of God. God has created us. So he said, some vessels are dishonored. Or some vessel made for honor. What kind of vessel you want to be? You want to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I want to be useful. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. How can I do it? Other day, one couple I met in front of post office. And when they saw me, they were so happy. I said, why don't you come to church? The wife pointing to husband. I said, okay. And that husband, very curious. When I'm saying the Bible scripture, he has the newspaper in his hand, start writing the Bible scripture. I said, sir, come to church and you will learn a lot. Today, they are sitting in the church. So point I'm making, I want each and every person, hey, I want to learn more. He has a keen mind. When I say scripture, he said, let me write it down in the newspaper. Point I'm making, if you make your vessel to ready for master's use, God is going to use you. That's what he said. If any man therefore purge himself from this, what is this? All these dirty stuff, what the people are doing. He shall be vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and what? Prepare for every good work. When you sanctify your vessel, when you make your vessel clean, God can use you. For what? Every good work. Now some people said, I'm doing good work. I pay in charity. I go to church. I go to the poor people. I do all good things. But I don't go to church. Do you think that's a good thing? People think, why ought to go to church? I stand on the street, God is there. I go to bathroom, God is there. I go to my bedroom, God is there. So why have to go to church? I told you last week I saw man. And he was also like a giant kind of man. And so I said, sir, you are a good man. But let me tell you, you are not doing what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. What it says? Please read.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
What is saying? Do not forsake assembling together. What does that mean? Go to church. You get together. Pray together. Exhort means encourage one another. When you come to church, I used to smoke 25 years ago. I gave up. And I'm living clean life. I was a bad person. I was doing this, doing that. I'm set free. I'm doing the will of God today. That's why we come to church, to encourage each other. And then he says, if you start doing that, you will be used or prepared for every good work. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, he says, all your good works without Christ is what? Filthy rag. When you say filthy rag, that's Isaiah 64 verse 6, if you're writing it down. And so he says, those your works without Jesus Christ is like a filthy rag. Not only that, it says like a dried leaves. When the wind comes, they're blown away. Those kind of works are burned to ashes. Those kind of work we have without Christ. But read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We are created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Without Christ, if you do good work, those are filthy rags. So if you want to do good work, get born again, get saved, get your Bible, start reading, practicing the word, and then whatever you do, it will be good. Okay, now we are going to finish this. Start reading for 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting from verse 22.
Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience.
If you are a child of God, run away from the youthful lust and whatever the sinful activity you are doing, God cannot use you. You have to give everything away, be gentle, teaching people, having desire to teach. And then he says in verse 25, how you teach? In meekness. Read these last two verses, 25 and 26.
In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Now he's saying there are people in this world, they are not Christian, they are not born again, they are bound in the devil's hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and if you read verse 4, he says, the god of this world has what? Blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they should not see Christ and his glory. So the devil has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So the Saint Paul said, when you teaching these people, when you talking to them, be wise and be alert, be gentle and be patient and be meekness to teach these people. So when you start doing this, they are going to see Christ in you. Not because you take a hammer and hammering on their head, but you try to say, I love you. This is the scripture says. The word of God says the godly sorrow will produce what? Repentance. So when you start giving them scripture, that scripture will make them guilty. They will start crying for their sins and they will ask forgiveness to God. And then the word of God says, then somehow God's word will make them free and they will come out of this misery and they will be coming out of the snare of the devil. The whole world is trapped in the devil's hand. And devil doesn't want these people to get out of his hand. Who can do it? The word of God has power. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, he says,
for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
What does it mean? If you preach the word, that will touch your soul, your spirit, and if you start thinking about the word of God, it will set you free. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. So what we have to do, go to the book of Romans chapter 10 and start reading from verse 13 to 17. Or just 13 and 14 and then go to 17.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now the word of God is saying, if you call upon the Lord, he will answer you. And somebody says, I don't know who the Lord is. So he says, if you don't know, then somebody has to go and tell. That's what the preacher is all about. I tell people, come to my church. I'm going to teach you something. So the word of God says, go where the word of God is preached. And the verse 17, he says, how the faith comes? By the hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somebody says, I went to church. When? 1964. After that, what? I didn't go. He says, hearing and what? Hearing. So keep on hearing the word of God. And then you will have faith. Now just think that somebody has a big log, just cut it from the tree. And the person who got that log is a carpenter or designer. What that person sees in that log is some kind of design, right? But if he do not chisel that log and polish and make whatever, that log will be log. So he has to work on that. The same way the word of God is. If you heard the John 3:16, that's good enough to get saved. But after that, what? I got saved, now what? That's why you have to hear the word of God, practice the word of God, listen, and your faith will grow. And that's the way we got our maturity. And that's what the Saint Paul is telling in this scripture. He is telling to preacher, you preach the word to the people who are able to listen and understand. There are some people teachable, and some people do not want to learn. Before you say, I know it, and that's the trouble. But I'm going to finish it here. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. So Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. We ask you to forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood. Sanctify us and use us for the glory of God. Lord Jesus, give us grace to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.